such a way as to increase Damodar's love and attachment for you. O Queen of Vrindavan, that can also mean, that last verse, you dressed yourself in such a way to increase Lord Damodar's love and attachment for you. Can also mean she's always dressed in the mood, her devotional mood, of that is her dress, which is always attached to Krishna with love. O Queen of Vrindavan, which is the pleasure grove of Lord Hari, O new moon, who has arisen from the ocean of King Vishabhanu. O friend of Lolita, you who make Vishakha loyal to you due to your wonderful qualities and friendliness, kindness and faithfulness to Krishna. O you who are filled with compassion, O you whose divine characteristics are described by the great sages Shanaka and Sanatan, O Radha, please be merciful to me. Shri Radha Rani Ki Jai. So today we're celebrating the appearance day of Srimati Radharani and also the appearance day of Sri Vishakadevi. Sri Vishakadevi Ki. She was born exactly the same day, exactly the same time as Srimati Radharani. Radharani appears at noontime. So it's also her birthday. Happy birthday. Pardon? Verse number 6. Okay. This one, 60, you have it here? Okay, so we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 4. Confidential reasons for Lord's appearance. This is text number 60. Haladini Karaya Krishni Ananda Swadana. Haladini Dvarakari Bhaktara Poshana. Haladina Karaya Krishni Ananda Swadana. Haladini Radvarakari Bhaktara Poshana. Haladini Karaya Krishni Ananda Dashvadana. Haladini Radvarakara Bhaktara Poshana. Haladini Karaya Krishna Ananda Swadana. Any messages? Haladini Karaya Krishna Ananda Swadana. Haladini Radvara Kari Bhaktara Poshana. Haladini Karaya Krishna Ananda Swadana. Lord, you are the one who is translation, and purport by His divine grace of our Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. That Haladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes His devotees. I'll just read the verse before then. Srimati Radhika is the transformation of Krishna's love. She is His internal energy called Haladini. That Haladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes His devotees. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has elaborately discussed the Haladini potency in his Priti Sandarbha. He says that the Vedas clearly state only devotional service can lead one to the personality of Godhead. Only devotional service can help a devotee meet the Supreme Lord face to face. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is attracted by devotional service, and as such, the ultimate supremacy of Vedic knowledge rests in knowing the science of devotional service. So here, that this devotional service is being stressed, and we stress it all the time. Seva, seva, seva. Gauranga nitya seva hoi bibhikash. Service. But why? What does Krishna need service for? He doesn't need. He's Atmarama, he's self-sufficient. Why the need of seva? Krishna's not in need of service. But He has come to give us seva. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us seva, Krishna seva, Radha, Krishna seva. So it's not the service itself, but the service becomes a medium in which you can express your love for Krishna. Radha Krishna. So you have to have some medium to express your love. How you can express your love? So then the service becomes a media to express our love for Krishna. Two people can be doing exactly the same work. Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavad Gita, two men are working side by side, doing exactly the same work. One man is thinking, oh, at the end of the month I'll get my salary, I can enjoy like anything. The other one is thinking, at the end of the month I'll get my salary, but I can use it to propagate Krishna consciousness and maintain my house, Krishna's house and Krishna's family. So both are doing exactly the same service, but the consciousness behind the service is different. So this is devotional service. It's a medium by which we can express our love for Krishna. So therefore it's savor is glorified. That's what goes on in the spiritual world eternally. It's said in the Vedas that when there is no more sun, no more moon, no more stars, there is no Brahma, no Shiva, nothing is existing. All the different processes of karma, jnana, yoga, vanashram, everything is wound up, nothing is existing anymore. But one thing is going on in the spiritual world. What is that? Devotional service. The service to Krishna is going on eternally in the Vaikuntha worlds. That never finishes. So devotional service is an eternal function. It's the internal function of the soul. So it's never destroyed. So therefore, we say bhakti in bhakti, the means and the end are the same. Whereas all the other processes, we have to, when we come perfect in another, when we have to discard the process. But in the process of bhakti, when we come perfect in bhakti, then the service becomes more and more relishable. The Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, like the impersonalists, by their process, even they become self-realized, Brahma, Bhuta, Prashanatma, don't want anything, self-satisfied. So, yeah, they, by their processes of Gyan, Yoga, whatever they're doing, their austerities, their study of the Vedas, they actually become Brahman realized, the Aham Brahmasmi, they're realizing Brahman. No greater gain, Krishna says. So now that then they say, well, now our work is finished. All of our study of the Vedas is finished because we've understood the purpose of the Vedas. To understand Brahman is to be understood. So all of our sadhana and all of our different processes is all finished because now we've attained the goal. We've attained Brahman. But Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, no, for the devotees, it's not like that. When they get actually realized, Brahman realized, they say, no, now the service really begins. Now the chanting really begins. Now the hearing really begins because it's being felt now with devotion and reality is there. The person is from the self-realized soul. He's experiencing that, the relishing the whole process of devotional service. So now is the real, the service really begins. It's the waking up time. Whereas for the impersonalist, that's the end, that's the goal. Just to realize Aham Brahmasmi. So, this is the glory of devotional services. It goes on eternally and it's... the very nature is blissful because it is... Radharani is in charge. So, what is the particular attraction that makes the Supreme Lord enthusiastic to accept devotional service? And what is the nature of such service? The Vedic scriptures inform that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is self-sufficient, and that Maya, nescience, can never influence him at all. Therefore, the potency that overcomes the Supreme must be purely spiritual. Such a potency cannot be anything of the material manifestation. The bliss enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be of material composition, like the impersonalist conception of the bliss of Brahman. Devotional service is a reciprocation between two, and therefore it cannot be located simply within oneself. Therefore, the bliss of self-realization, Brahmananda, cannot be equated with devotional service. The Prabhupada's making a nice statement here. Devotional service is a reciprocation between two. So this is bhakti, this is love. It takes two. I love you, you love me without love. But for the impersonalist, because their philosophy denies the duality, they cannot accept it. So therefore they're very unfortunate. I can't remember where this is from. If anybody knows, they can please tell me. But anyway, I remember it. And I thought it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussing with the impersonalist, but I can't find it. Anyway, the question, what the statement was made by the Mayavadi sannyasis. They said, actually, some of us are self-realized. We have actually understood Brahman. Few of us. And with this realization of Brahman, although one feels self-satisfied, there's nothing else to gain, he needs nothing, there's something that kind of a lingering inside is a lingering feeling that there is something else. But the philosophy of Shankaracharya denies anything else. There's no duality. But the actual realization, when a person is actually self-realized, he's realizing Brahman, he's feeling there's something more. And then he said, now you're explaining the process of bhakti, I can understand what it is. It's like devotional service means activities of Brahman. But we are taught Brahman, there's no activity, there's nothing there. But actually we cannot deny the feeling is there. So it's easier to preach to a self-realized person, my impersonalist, than a non-self-realized, because he will never know, he's only on knowledge. But the self-realized, he has actual feeling that there is something else, but his philosophy denies it. So when Mahaprabhu explained the process of bhakti and devotion, then they accept it and all become devotees. Yeah, so it's a devotional service is a reciprocation between two. Prabhupada says in the introduction of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Radha Krishna is the exchange of love. That is Radha Krishna. It's not. Sometimes it sounds a little bit impersonal. It's an exchange of love. They're much more. They're personified here, of course, Radha Gopina. But Radha Krishna Prabhupada is the exchange of love. That when we, our relationship with Krishna, when it's matured, and we enter into a loving relationship with Krishna. That is Radha Krishna. It means, explained a little bit later on in this purport. No, next purport. Anyway, Prabhupada said that devotional service, it cannot be located simply within oneself. Okay? So it comes from within and without. Love comes from within and without. So it's not just located in oneself. But generally everyone, the yogas are teaching you to search within to find the self within. But it needs without also. One is within, but one is without. So that reciprocation has to have two. So so because this love of God is the final goal of life, then this is the what we're aspiring for, to come to this stage. I think it's Uddhava. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, maybe it is. Anyway, he says, I'm conquered by the love of one who has conquered his mind. So this is how we can conquer Krishna. By the love of one who has conquered his mind. So what is this love? This love is Haladini Shakti. That's the loving potency. So in other words, Krishna is saying, I'm conquered by Radharani. Because that love that we, when we manifest our love, that is Radharani's potency. And so Krishna is conquered by Radharani when we awaken our love for Krishna. So yeah, so therefore the bliss of self-realization, Brahmananda, it cannot be equated with devotional service. Okay, now we were just singing about the four Kumars, Shanatha, Shanatan. They're glorifying Radharani, but previously they were holding a impersonal kind of view. They were actually Brahmavadis. They knew Krishna was there, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they preferred the peace and the shanti or Brahman. We understand Krishna in three features. Brahmaniti, Paramatmati, Bhagavaniti, Subjati. So they prefer the Brahman aspect of Krishna. They want shanti. They just want to be absorbed in that. No disturbance. That's one aspect of God. So that's okay for the Brahmavadis. Mayavadis, they don't accept the form of God. But Brahmavadis accept, but they prefer his the effulgence which emanates from his toenails and his the abode of peace and shanti. So the four Kumaras, they were in Tapalok or somewhere like that, universal travelers. They knew that the Lord was there's a local Vaikuntha planet, maybe the pole star. It's a Vaikuntha planet where the Lord is lying, and but the local Vaikuntha planet. I think maybe there's an ocean of milk there also. But anyway, they said, let's go and see Vishnu. What do we want to go see him for? I mean, he's great and everything like that, but what pleasure will we get going to see Vishnu in his abode when we are completely self-satisfied here? What does it matter? We don't want to go anywhere. We're satisfied wherever we go. What's the point of going out? No, we go for a picnic, have a set of curiosity, we'll go and have a look. Somehow or another, they went over to see the Lord. And when they approached the Lord, they went, what's that smell there? Beautiful aroma was coming from the lotus feet of Krishna, saffron and chandan and things like that, tulsi on his feet. And they started to feel ecstasy. They said, what is this? How come we're feeling more ecstasy from our nose, which is one of the sense organs, than ourself? We've been relishing the bliss of ourself, and we understand that the senses are but now the experience of our nose, our sense of smell, and it's more blissful than our self-satisfaction within. So how is it possible? So then they all come to the conclusion of how devotional service is far, far superior. Then they all become great devotees. So now they're chanting glories of Radharani and all the devotees of the Lord. So therefore, Brahmananda cannot be equated with devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has three kinds of internal potency, namely the Haladini potency, or the pleasure potency, the Sandini Shakti, or existential potency, and the Sambit Shakti, or cognitive potency. In the Vishnu Purana, the Lord is addressed as follows: O Lord, you are the support of everything. The three attributes, Haladini, Sandini, and Sambit, exist in you as one spiritual energy. But the material modes, which cause happiness, misery, and mixtures of the two, do not exist in you, for you have no material qualities. So these are three attributes, what we call Satchit Ananda. Sandini, Sambit, and Haladini. Same thing, Satchit Ananda. Eternality, knowledge, cognizance, and bliss. These are the three spiritual potencies of the Lord. But the material modes which cause happiness and misery and the mixture of two do not exist in you. You have no material qualities. So when we adopt and accept material qualities, then we accept the miseries. There's a quote, I can't remember. Anyway, it's from the prayers of the Hamsaguyas. Prayers, Srimad Bhagavatam. And there it quotes one verse. Halanidini Sambit Sandini. These are the spiritual potencies. And because this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, then that Haladini potency, which is the essence of the spiritual world in which the Lord conducts his pastimes, it's reflected here. And people are trying to enjoy in this material world, so that Haladini, the pleasure potent giving potency, becomes tapakari. This means it becomes a source of miseries, because it's a reflection. The reflection is upside down. So that highest thing in the spiritual world, which everything is revolving around, is Krishna's pleasure. That's his whole purpose of Krishna's pleasure. That highest pleasure reflects in the material world as tapakari. That which gives problems and miseries. Exactly the opposite. So when this is what happens when we try to enjoy separately from Krishna in the material world, then we're simply faced with these miseries. No further explanation is needed. We all have practical experiences from beginning of our lives, problem after problem. We can't fulfill our desires. Haladini is the personal manifestation of the blissfulness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by which he enjoys pleasure. Because the pleasure potency is perpetually present in the Supreme Lord, the theory of the impersonalist that the Lord appears in the material mode of goodness cannot be accepted. This is their conclusion. Krishna, yes, he appeared here, but he appeared through the agency of the three modes of material nature. He is a very, very powerful personality, so he appears mainly through the mode of goodness. He accepts the body of the mode of goodness, Sattva-gun. It's the greatest mistake in their philosophy. So, anyway, what a foolish conclusion. This, you're taking Krishna, Sri Krishna, as an ordinary person in the mode of goodness, and what are his activities? He's surrounded by women, other men's wives, he's dancing in the middle of the night. This is Sattva-gun. So even their conclusions are way off. He accepts the body in Shatrughun. These activities of Krishna, they're not in Shatrughun, they're very Rajasic. Boy-girl meeting in the dead of night, wives of other husbands, it's all Rajagun, that's not Shatrughun. So even their logic is all upside down. The impersonalist conclusion is against the Vedic version that the Lord possesses a transcendental pleasure potency. He cannot have a pleasure potency separate from him, otherwise there will be a duality. So therefore there is no pleasure potency. How they derive that, they cheat themselves out of the greatest gift of life, to love Krishna. They're deprived. There was one, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, walking down the road, Calcutta, and they decided, Guru Maharaj, look, coming the other way. Big Mayavadi sannyasi was preaching in heaven. Bhaktisiddhanta, he crossed over the road to confront him, walked directly in front of him. He walked right up to him and slapped him around the face. Why you are teaching this philosophy which denies the living entity his eternal love for Krishna? He couldn't say anything. The boldness, we should preach like that. So, the impersonalist conclusion is against the Vedic version. Prem Pumata Pumam. The Vedic version, the final goal, Prem Pumata, is to love God. And they're denying the living entity. This is how this philosophy, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati termed it as the evil fruit of India. We got your best philosophy from India simultaneously. We get the evil fruit, the Mayavad philosophy. When the pleasure potency of the Supreme Person of God is exhibited by His grace in a person of a devotee, that manifestation is called love of God. Love of God is an epithet for the pleasure potency of the Lord. And therefore, devotional service reciprocated between the Lord and His devotee is an exhibition of the transcendental pleasure potency of the Lord. The potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that always enriches him with transcendental bliss is not material, but the Shankarites have accepted it as such because they are ignorant of the identity of the Supreme Lord and his pleasure potency. Those ignorant persons cannot understand the distinction between the impersonal spiritual bliss and the variegatedness of the spiritual pleasure potencies. The Haladini potency gives the Lord all transcendental pleasure, and the Lord bestows such a potency upon his pure devotee. So the Lord bestows his potency, Haladini potency, on the living, and then he enjoys. Krishna only enjoys the Haladini potency. So first he bestows. We have small Haladini potency there. Ananda is small, but it's not big enough, it's not powerful enough. So Krishna's Haladini descends. Then Krishna can enjoy that potency, his own potency. Hang on to that. Krishna's body is eternal, sat, full of knowledge, chit, and full of bliss, ananda. His one spiritual energy manifests in three forms. So it's one potency, but the different aspects. Krishna's Vishuddha Sattva potency, his energies, manifest in three aspects. Actually, many unlimited aspects. But Haladini is his aspect of bliss. Shandini is the eternal existence, and Sambit is of cognizance, which is also accepted as knowledge. Purport: In his thesis, in the Bhagavad Shandarbha, Sri Jiva Goswami explains the potency of the Lord as follows. The transcendental potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by which he maintains his existence, is called Sandini. The transcendental potency by which he knows himself and causes others to know him is called Shambhit. The transcendental potency by which he possesses transcendental bliss and causes his devotee to have bliss is called Aladini. So these are the different potencies of the Lord. Here, we're going to explain this point further, how Krishna bestows his Haladini, or his blissful nature, on the living entity. This is text 68. The essence of the Haladini potency is love of Godhead. The essence of love of God is emotion, bhava, and the ultimate development of emotion is mahabhava. Purport. The product of the Haladini Shakti is love of Godhead, which has two divisions, namely pure love of God and adulterated love of Godhead. Only when the Haladini Shakti emanates from Sri Krishna and is bestowed upon the living being to attract him, does the living entity become a pure lover of God. But when the same Haladini Shakti is adulterated by the external material energy and emanates from the living being, it does not attract Krishna. On the contrary, the living being becomes attracted by the glamour of material energy. At that time, instead of becoming mad with love of Godhead, the living entity becomes mad after material sense enjoyment. And because of his association with the qualitative modes of material nature, he is captivated by its interactions of distressful, unhappy feelings. So, I read this part again. Only when the Haladini Shakti emanates from Sri Krishna and is bestowed upon the living entity to attract him, means to attract Krishna, does the living entity become a pure lover of God? So this is how it works. This is the definition of bhakti. It's also described in the Brahma Samhita, yeah, one purport. Maybe Advaita Machuta Manadim verse. And also in the Harinam Chintamani. And Haridas Thakur is speaking. We often hear about Bhakti Devi. Who is Bhakti Devi? She's very, very elusive. Nobody, what is her personality? Haridas Thakur describes, and it's being described here, this is actually Bhakti Devi. Only when the Haladini Shakti emanates from Sri Krishna is bestowed upon the living entity to attract him, does the living entity become a pure lover of God. So it's stated by this in Harinam Chintamani and also Brahma Samhita that we are existing, the eternal nature. We are cognizant. We have knowledge. Now, when our existence and our knowledge, our cognizant factor, wants to search after perfection in life, and he starts his search, and ultimately he comes to the path of bhakti, and understands now he's our Haladini potency, our minute portion. We have minute portion of Haladini, Sambit and Sandini, Satchitananda. We have that. That is what is attracting Krishna, but it's not big enough. It's not powerful enough to reach Krishna. So. But we try, we use our cognizant potency, our knowledge-giving potency, to understand Krishna and understand his, and try to develop a mood of devotion and love for him. Now, when generally it comes through the guru recommends or gives his blessing, this person is very sincerely practicing devotional service. But ultimately we're not powerful enough. Our chit and ananda potency are not powerful enough to reach Krishna. But when we are recommended by Krishna's devotee, generally, Krishna can also give, but more rare, he gives his devotees to give. But when the devotees recommend to Krishna, then Krishna feels obligated. So then Krishna, he bestows his haladini and chit potency, because he's unlimited. His chit potency come down to meet the minute jiva's haladini and chit potency. And that is bhakti. So now the living entity is engaging in a loving relationship. His love has been awakened by the grace of the descending haladini potency. He has awakened his love for Krishna, and now he's engaging in service to Krishna. Krishna is reciprocating with him, but who is actually Krishna reciprocating with? God's business is love, his pleasure. Bahusham. He's one, he becomes many. Next question is, why does he become many? For his pleasure. Pleasure is the purpose of life. But Krishna's pleasure. I'm thinking, yes, pleasure is the purpose of life. I'm always seeking pleasure. But Krishna's pleasure is the purpose of life. So our very existence, Bahusham, we are the many. Our very existence is to increase Krishna's bliss. He is one and he has become many for his pleasure. And we are that pleasure particles. Also is there. So our existence is to expand Krishna's pleasure. So when we have that attitude, and say, then Krishna is pleased. He bestows his haladini potency and then enters into a relationship with the living entity. But the actual relationship is based on Krishna's reciprocation with the haladini, the pleasure giving potency. And that shakti is haladini shakti, Srimati Radharani. So what is actually happening is that Krishna is associating with Radharani. But we are identifying it. It's our haladini potency that we're using. We're entering into a relationship with Krishna. But actually what's happening is Krishna is enjoying with his haladini potency, which is Radharani. So actually there's nothing in existence except Radha Krishna, the love of Radha and Krishna. But we are experiencing as our own relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, last chapter, last shloka, last purport, last sentence. The author of a book often gives his conclusions in the very last thing. So this is Prabhupada's conclusion. Anybody know? Okay, you have to read Bhagavad Gita after. But Prabhupada says that he speaks about how the living entity has his minute independence, how he misuses that independence and becomes bound up in the material world. But by proper use of that independence, the living entity can regain his original status, his original transcendental position in the haladini potency, in the pleasure-giving potency. This is where Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, as it wants to take us, out of the material world and into the pleasure pastimes of Krishna. It finishes on that point. Prabhupada finishes on that point. Into the haladini potency, the pleasure-giving potency, that's where we belong. In there, giving Krishna pleasure. Where everybody is under the influence of this pleasure potency, serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna. So this is the author's revealing his intentions, luckily for us. This is where Prabhupada wants to take us. And back in our position, serving Radha and Krishna. Yeah. But ultimately, it's nothing but Radha and Krishna is enjoying this. The potency of the Supreme Personality of God that always enriches him with transcendental bliss is not material. But the Shankarites have accepted as such because they are ignorant of the identity of the Supreme Lord and His pleasure potency. Those ignorant persons cannot understand the distinction between impersonal spiritual bliss and the variegatedness of the spiritual pleasure potency. The Aladini potency gives the Lord all transcendental pleasure, and the Lord bestows such potency on His pure devotees. So when the Lord bestows His potency on the pure devotees, then the love of God is awakened. So Haridas Thakur said, that is Bhakti Devi. That Haladini and Sambit potencies, when it meets Krishna, that is Bhakti Devi's realm, because now the devotional service has started, so Bhakti Devi takes over. This is my realm. So she kicks Maya out the way. No business, my business now with the pure devotees. That's my realm. You go and seek to look after all the other people in the material world, giving you attention there. So I'm going to read a story of how Srimati Radharani created Nambadip Dham. Nambadip Dham ki jai. And this is from the Nambadip Dham Mahatmya, Prikram Kanda. No, it's not the Prikram Kanda, it's the Praman Kanda. And this is from the Ananta Samhita. And Lord Shiva is talking to Parvati. And Lord Shiva replies, O Parvati, please hear the reason for Nabadweep's appearance, as described in the Ananta Samhita, and as I have heard from the mouth of Lord Narayana. As a bee plays in the lotus, Krishna was enjoying with Viraja in the pleasant forest groves of Vrindavan. Moon-faced, doe-eyed Radhika heard this news from Vanshaki and hastily ran to find Krishna. Seeing that Radha was coming, Krishna suddenly disappeared and Viraja became a river. Radha again heard that Krishna was enjoying with Viraja, but when she arrived there, she could not find him. Absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, Radha began to think. She gathered all her shakis together between the Ganges and the Jamuna rivers. She created there a beautiful place decorated with creepers and trees, filled with male and female bumblebees. Deer and buck were happily enjoying as they wandered about. And the whole area was filled with the fragrance of jasmine, mallika, and malati flowers. The transcendental abode was adorned with tulsi forests and decorated with various groves. On Radha's order, the Ganges and Jamuna, with their pleasant waters and banks, acted as a moat to protect the garden. Cupid himself, along with springtime, eternally reside there, and the birds constantly sing the auspicious name of Krishna. Radha, dressed in a colorful cloth, then began to play a beautiful melody on a flute in order to attract Krishna. Attracted by that melody, Krishna appeared in that enchanting place. Radha, the attractor of Krishna's mind, seeing that Krishna had come, held his hand and experienced ecstatic delight. Then Krishna, understanding Radha's mood, spoke with a voice choked with love. O lovely face Radha, you are my very life. There is no one more dear to me than you. Therefore, I will never leave you. Just for me, you have created this wonderful place. Staying with you, I will transform this place, filling it with new shakis and groves. The devotees will glorify this place as New Vrindavan, Nava Vrindavan. As this place is like an island or deepa, the wise will call it Navadvipa. By my order, all the holy places will reside here. Because you have created this place for my pleasure, I will live here eternally. Those people who come here and worship us will certainly attain our eternal service in the mood of the Shakis. O dear Radha, like Vrindavan, this place is extremely pure. If anyone comes here just once, he will obtain the result of going to all the other sacred places. He will quickly attain devotional service, which satisfies us. Shrimati Radharani ki, Nabadi Dham ki. So she created Dham for the pleasure of Krishna. I'll tell another story. This is called Snapna Vilash. I think it's from Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. And Radha and Krishna, they wake up in the morning and Srimati Radharani says, Krishna, I had an astonishing dream last night. Very astonishing. There was this beautiful person. He was golden complexion. And he was in this beautiful place on the banks of the river there, and there was bees and birds, and just like here on the bank of the Jamuna, exactly like that. And he was chanting Krishna's name. And sometimes he was swooning in ecstasy and falling down, and sometimes he was chanting Radha's name and falling down. Very mysterious. I couldn't understand. It was just like me, you when you call me and when I call you. He was calling your name and that. But who was his personality? If it was me, because I'm always calling Krishna's name, where were you? Because I'm never separated from you. And if it was you, when you were calling Radha's name, where was I? Because I'm always with you. Very mysterious. Please explain this. So Krishna was smiling. He said, well, you know everything. You're the crest jewel of all of my energies. But anyway, I'll tell you. No, he didn't say I'll tell you. He just smiled. And then his Kushtabhamani. Krishna always has that famous Kushtabhamani. It illuminated and began to spread rays, effulgent rays. And those rays went everywhere, and they created exactly the scene that Radharani had seen in her dream. It must have been like a crystal ball, that Kushtabhamani. Anyway, she saw the whole scene, and then she saw Krishna was there smiling, and she said, oh, what is this form? It's both of us. It's me and you. So then he explained, yes, this is, in this form we will take as Gauranga, we will combine and perform our pastimes of Nama Shankirtan here in Nabadvitam. So, another from this story, another lesson is that Radharani is saying that when the Kushtabhamani illuminated and spread its rays, then we could see you as we know you. And everybody can see Krishna as they know Krishna, whether they're Krishna devotees, Ramchandra, or whoever. They could see their worshipful Lord. She said, now I can understand how you're one, but simultaneously everybody's worshipping you in different forms, but you are that one. Just like the sun's rays are diffused everywhere. When you look into a ray of the sun, that's exclusive for you, that ray. You can see the sun exclusively through that ray. So we're all looking at the sun, but we're all looking through a different ray. So like that, it goes and it illuminates our Lord. Whatever our Lord is, we can see. So simultaneously, Krishna is one, but according to the devotee's devotion to the Lord and his choice, he's looking at that one Krishna through a different ray. He's seeing his worship of the Lord. One of the different features. So she was, Radharani was saying, now I can understand how you are one, but simultaneously you are all the other forms as well. Hare Krishna. Mystical. Yeah, this Srimati Radharani potency this is also described in the Nabdita Mahatmya. At Srimantadvipa, we've all been to Srimantadvipa. There we have Srimantini Devi, deity with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So, Lord Shiva, he was once chanting the names of Gauranga. And he was in such an ecstasy that the whole universe was shaking. So Parvati went to see what was happening. And she saw Lord Shiva dancing and chanting, Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. So when he became external, she asked him, what was that name of Gauranga you were chanting? I've never seen you in such ecstasy, and I've never heard that name before. I know it's the name of Krishna, because when you chant Krishna's name, I'm feeling the same bliss as when you're chanting this Gauranga's name, but I've never heard of this Gauranga. You please explain to me. So then Lord Shiva told her, yeah, in the Kali Yuga, I'm going to accept the form of Radha and Krishna, accept the form of Gauranga, and they appear, and in this manifestation of Gauranga, they give love of Godhead freely. They're giving to anyone and everyone. I've already left. I don't live in Kailash anymore. I got a place there on the bank of the Ganga in Namadweep. I'm already there meditating on the Gauranga. So immediately he said, if you want to go, you should immediately go to that place called Namadweep. So Srimantini immediately left. Parvati Devi immediately left. And meditated on that form of Gauranga that Lord Shiva had explained to her. So he was in meditation, hearing the holy names, and then she could... So you're hearing a curtain. Curtain was coming. Kirtan. And she opened her eyes, and there was the person she was meditating was coming. Gauranga was there with his kirtan. He was drenched with love of Godhead. Staggering. Tears coming from his eyes and his beautiful body. And with all the devotees doing Prema Shankirtan. And then Mahaprabhu saw her. Who are you? Oh, Devi. Oh, it's you, Mother. What are you doing here? And she said, well, listen, this is my plight, that you've come to deliver everyone. You're giving Braja Prem freely to anyone and everyone. But I am Maya Devi. I'm the external potency of the Lord. It said where Krishna is, the external potency cannot stand. Where the sunshine is, the shadow cannot stand. So I'm the shadow energy. I'm always behind you. You come to give your mercy to everyone, but I cannot get it because I can't approach you. I'm Maya Devi. I'm the shadow. I have to be behind. So what is my fate? Everyone in the universe gets the bliss of an opportunity of your prema, but I don't get it. So this is my lamentation. So then Mahaprabhu said to her, he said, as far as I am concerned, I see you as none different than Srimati Radharani. This is Parvati, husband of Lord Shiva. I see you as none different than Srimati Radharani. You are my internal potency. In Vrindavan, you are present there as Purnamasi. And without your help, I cannot do anything. You arrange all my pastimes. And in Navadvip, you're here in the form also of Prodamaya, Yogamaya. And there, you're assisting in the pastimes of my pastimes in Navadvip. So you are that same, I see you as that same personality, that personality, Yogamaya, none different than Srimati Radharani. So in other words, he gave a self-realization. She thought, I'm this material body, I'm Maya. But then he gave a self-realization, I'm Gauranga's eternal potency. So that potency is only one. The internal potency is one, and the reflection or the shadow of that is Mahamaya, but it's not two potencies. Mahamaya is not a separate potency. This was Gauranga's vision. He saw the source of the external potency. As Prabhupada said, we should see, when we see in the world we walk, we see so many things, but we should always see the source. What was the source of that? So we'll always come to Krishna and be able to remember Krishna wherever we are, whatever we see. If we remember the source. So like that, if we understand all these energies are coming from Krishna. So he had that vision. I see he was none different than Srimati Radharani. So then she took the dust of the Gauranga's feet, put it on here, Srimant, called Srimanta. The Parvati. Sati. Most chaste woman in the universe. Her husband is Lord Shiva. Why is she taking the dust of another man? No, because she became self-realized and realized, no, you are my husband. Shiva is the Guna Avatara. He is Vishnu, he's a Guna Avatara. You are my husband. I recognize you now. You are my eternal husband. So she took the dust of the feet of Gauranga and put it on her Srimanta. Srimanta Devi Ki Jai. So Radha is the crest jewel of all the internal potencies. She is the chief. Because what does Krishna like best? He loves love best. And she is that love personified. So therefore, of all of his potencies, Radharani, for him, is considered supreme. So so also we find out a lot about Srimati Radharani's mood with the. Okay, here is the Haladini potency in respect to the Panchatattva. So here is the progression. See, the Panchatattva are the Yuga avatars. We have to go through Panchatattva. Without going through Panchatattva, you cannot reach your ultimate perfection. They have invented for Kali Yuga. So here is a progression. And that actually Narottam Das Thakur also sings in his song. Where is here it is. Okay. This is Adi Lila, Chaitanamrita. Adi 7, text number 17. Okay, I read 16 also. There are innumerable pure devotees of the Lord, headed by Srivas Thakur, who are known as unalloyed devotees. 17. The devotees headed by Gadadhar Pandit are considered to be incarnations of the internal potency of the Lord. And they are confidential devotees engaged in service to the Lord. So, I read the purport. In connection with verses 16 and 17, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Satyatva Thakur explains, there are specific symptoms by which the internal devotees and the unalloyed or pure devotees are to be known. All unalloyed devotees are Shakti Tattvas, or potencies of the Lord. Some of them are situated in conjugal love and others in filial affection, fraternity and servitude. Certainly all of them are devotees, but by making a comparative study, it is found that the devotees and potencies who are engaged in conjugal love are better situated than the others. The devotees who are in a relationship with the Supreme Personality regarded in conjugal love are considered to be the most confidential devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who are engaged in the service of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Advaita Prabhu generally have relationships of parental love, fraternity, servitude and neutrality. When such devotees develop great attachment for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they also too become situated in the intimate circle of devotees in conjugal love. This gradual development of devotional service is described by Srila Narottam Das Thakur as follows. Here's the development. And he sings his song, Gauranga boleti hobi polaka sharira hari hari bolete naini nabi nira arukabi nitai chanda karuna karabi samsara vashanamori kabi tu chahobi vishaya chaya kabi sudaha bimana kabi hama hiriba Sri Vrindavan Rupa Raghunatha Padi Hai Biyakuti Kabi Hama Bhujava Sri Jugala Piriti. When will there be eruptions on my body as soon as I chant the names of Lord Chaitanya? And when will there be incessant torrents of tears as soon as I chant the holy name, Hare Krishna? When will Lord Nityananda be merciful to me and free me from all desires for material enjoyment? When will my mind be completely free from all contamination of desires for material pleasures? Only at that time will it be possible for me to understand Vrindavan. Only if I become attached to the instructions given by the six Goswamis, headed by Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, will it be possible for me to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. By attachment to the devotional service of the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one immediately comes to the ecstatic position. When he develops his love for Nityananda Prabhu, he is freed from all attachments to the material world, and at that time he becomes eligible to understand the Lord's pastime in Vrindavan. In that condition, when one develops his love for the six Goswamis, he can understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. These are different stages of a pure devotee's promotion to conjugal love in the service of Radha and Krishna, in an intimate relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's Prabhupada speaking of a progression here. You chant the names of Gauranga and you'll feel ecstasy, and then when you're in ecstasy, you can get the mercy of Nityananda, and then by the mercy of Nityananda, you get the mercy of Goswamis, and then you get the mercy of Krishna. So here is the progression. Panchatattva. First, we all know when we come to devotional life, then it's essential to take shelter of a pure devotee, lotus feet. So we take shelter of a pure devotee. So that's represented by Srivas Thakur. He's Bhaktakyam. He is like devotee. He is Jeev Tattva, but he's in pure constitutional situation. He's a pure devotee of the Lord. So that's so when we approach Panchat Guru, then at that time Guru is representing Srivas Thakur, because he's going to initiate us into the process, connect us to the parampara, etc. So he gives you what does the Guru do? That's Srivas Thakur. He gives us the process of the parampara. So that is Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya represents the param. He come to give the science of devotional service. So Advaita Acharya is representing that parampara, the science of devotional service. So when we put that into practice, we're practicing the process of Krishna consciousness, the science of devotional service. That's represented by Advaita Acharya. The Guru represents Advaita Acharya at that time. Now, when you follow the process, the result is anatta nivritti, all the unwanted things are going. Then you can actually enter the spiritual world, as he said here. So this is the realm of Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu is the Sandini potency. the existential potency. He expands as Navadvip Dham, Vrindavan Dham. And that's the position of bliss. Prabhupada said, how do you know one received the mercy of Lord Nityananda? He said, symptom is he's always happy. So Lord Nityananda is always happy, that existential platform of blissful. So by following the process of the Acharya, then you transcend the modes of material nature and come to the Shuddha Sattva platform. That is Nityananda's platform. So then Guru at that time is representing Nityananda for the disciple. And now you're in the spiritual world. You're out of the modes of material nature. You're in the spiritual existence. Sandini. So what's next? Oh, you approach the Haladini potency. That's when he's singing Rupa Raghunatha Pavati, he's saying this is representing the Haladini potency. These Rupa and Raghunatha are expansions of Srimati Radharani. They are Haladini potency. So when you're in the spiritual realm, out of the material realm, then you develop your love for the Six Goswamis, the Rupa and Raghunatha, or that's represented as the Haladini potency, Garata Pandit. And by the mercy of the Garata Pandit, by the mercy of that Haladini potency, then Krishna will be attracted. So then you can understand what is Radha and Krishna. So this is the progression that's given in Kali Yuga. We have to go through this progression. And how Guru is also, that's the five tattvas, there's a sixth tattva, that is Guru tattva. Krishna Das Kaviraj said, the Guru becomes the sixth tattva. Two tattvas very difficult to understand. There's Shiva tattva and Guru tattva. Because Shiva, he is like yogurt and milk. You can't understand. He's in between. So it's difficult to understand. Guru is more difficult even than Shiva. Because Guru, he's representing all these tattvas. He represents Shiva tattva. he represents the Shivash, or the what's the verse? Bhakta kyam pramami bhakti shakti kyam pancha tattva apmakam krishnam bhakta rupa surupakam bhakta avataram bhakta kyam. Beauty, beauty, beauty. So then, actually, Guru represents all those. He represents the pure devotee, Srivas. He represents Advaita as the Acharya giving the prayer. He represents Nityananda as the blissful platform, the Sudha Sattva platform. Then he represents Gadatara, like Rupa and Sanatana and Haladini potency. And by that potency, then you can understand what is Radha and Krishna. And that is markable. So there's five different tattvas we can go through. So yeah, and so this way we can understand by the Pancha Tattva's mercy what is actually Radha, or what is Radha and Krishna. Otherwise it's not possible in this age of Kali. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so kind. He revealed so much of the identity of Radha Krishna and the emotions of Radha, what is Radha and Krishna. In his Rath Yatra festival, when he was speaking to Lord Jagannath, he was revealing so much that when the inhabitants of Vrindavan went to Kurukshetra to see Krishna, and they saw Krishna, but he was a king. King Krishna came with his chariots and horses and infantry and armies and things like that. 16,000 wives. All of his entourage. And Radharani and the gopis were there, and so they managed to find a secluded place where they could speak quite freely to each other. And he was expressing so many their emotions that Krishna, it's the same night of Chaitra, you are the same, you're my same lovable Lord. But here it's different. amongst all these soldiers and infantry. We want to take you back to the bank of the Jamuna where we used to see you with your peacock feather and your tribangi and you playing the flute. That Krishna we want. So you please come back to Vrindavan. This is the Rath Yatra, the whole mood of Rath Yatra. Please come back to Vrindavan. We want to. So hope against hope. How can Krishna do that? How can he go back to Vrindavan? He's got his wives with him and his armies and things like that. But Radharani is there. She's hoping against hope. Please, please come back. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote one something. And he said, I would like to do my bhajan at Kuruketra. So the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, why did Bhaktivinoda Thakur write that? Who wants to go do their bhajan at Kuruketra? The devotees, they want to go to Jagannath Puri or Vrindavan. Mayapur, you do your bhajan there. Why? Kuruketra. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, because of the delicate position of Radharani's heart at that time. It was so delicate. There was her love, loved it. She, please come back to Vrindavan. But she knew it was impossible, practically. But still, there was may have been a slight hope. And it was such a delicate situation for her, for Radharani. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, now if I can do seva for Radharani when she's in that condition, and I can please her, very easy she will give mercy to me. Very quickly and easily I have attained the mercy of Sri Radha. So therefore I wish to do my bhajan at Kuruketra so I can assist Srimati Radharani. So this was the mood that was being expressed. And so in the conversation, Radharani was saying, now you... first of all, he said, you sent Uddhava to Vrindavan with a message. The message said, my dear gopis, my dear friends, you may know that separation between ourselves is impossible at any time, under any circumstance, in any place, because I am all-pervading. So Radharani said, why are you treating us like jnanis? Teaching us this impersonal Brahman realization that you're all-pervading. First you sent Uddhava to speak this jnana, and now you are coming here at Kuruketra and you're telling us, if you just meditate on me in your heart, fix your heart, mind on me and meditate, then we'll always be together. So why are you treating us like common yogis and jnanis? We're accustomed to love you from the very beginning of our lives, and now you're treating us like ordinary karmas and jnanis. But it's not right for you to speak like this, Krishna. So, anyway, we read that chapter. But the emotion that is being expressed there, that we would never know if Mahaprabhu didn't reveal all these. He's talking to Lord Jagannath and acting out a pastime. Revealing the topmost emotions of Srimati Radharani, and ultimately by her mercy only we can understand what is Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I don't know if we're late or early. If there's any question or comment.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, thank you very much, Jananivas Prabhu. So, let us express our gratitude to Jananivas Prabhu by loudly chanting.
Hare Krishna.
So, we have the Bhaktivedanta Vidyapeeth at GV, where we are trying to create a facility for systematic Shastric study. And we have running courses on Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So His Grace Gaurang Darshan Prabhu and the team of devotees have tried to create a very beautiful guidebook for Srimad Bhagavatam study of first and second canto. It's called Bhagavat Subodhini. And on the auspicious occasion of Sri Radhashtami, we are requesting His Grace Jananivas Prabhu to officially open the book. And I request Damodar Prabhu and Radhika Valla Prabhu to hand over the book, since both of them are teachers at Bhaktivedanta Vidyapit. And request Jananivas Prabhu to open the book and show it to everyone. So it is being priced at 250 rupees, but on the occasion of Radhashtami for the opening day, there is a discount offered by Tulsi Books of 50 rupees, and it will be available at 200 rupees all through today. Thank you.